Y'all, I watched Blue Velvet for the first time.
Oh, I'm not boy, sure we're just that, jumping right into
God
the David Lynch,
almighty.
Huh?
This just feels like the most sort of, it feels like a parody of like somebody coming on the show to be Chris Plant. Do you know what I mean? Like it's so on the nose.
Well, wouldn't it be like more me if I had already seen it?
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah.
But did you like, it has King Koopa in it.
Yeah.
Like Dennis.
Oh, Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper.
No. It has, no, sorry. He is playing King Koopa.
I mean, basically, the King Koopa character that Dennis Hopper plays in Super Mario Brothers, the movie, and the character he plays in Blue Velvet, kind of the same.
Pretty much the same character, huh?
Same ambition?
Yeah, to kill the Mario Brothers. And it's really weird, because everybody else is, like, doing the movie. Mm. Like, everyone else is like, okay, guys, let's get together, and David brought us all together for this one. We're going to do a great job. And then Dennis Hopper just walks in and is like, bring me the Mario Brothers heads. And it's like, whoa, this is so avant-garde.
Yeah, it fits, man. Anything goes with David Lynch.
You can't beat him.
Well, and Dennis Hopper, he's like a roaring Mississippi River, right? Like, the best you can do is kind of take energy from it with dams, right? But you can't steer the river. The river's going to go where it's going to go. It's going to...
The dinosaur river. No, you can't.
It's going to try to kill Mario and Luigi.
Hey, should we do an episode where we just covered the Super Mario Brothers movie? Because it feels like we are trending in that direction. Like, that's the next logical evolution. Because it blends a lot of our favorite stuff here, which is to say those great plumbers and also cinema.
I mean, how many times can we talk about John Leguizamo without playing the entirety of, was it the nerd, the jerk, the idiot?
Oh my god.
Man, it's too bad Hoops isn't here. I feel like that's what we're missing. We're missing Hoops. If Hoops was here, we would have listened to that song like 5 times before the end of this cold open.
Yeah. Oh, let's say other things to antagonize Justin since he's not here. Hey, do you guys remember that Jimmy Buffett song, Where'd My Cheeseburger Go?
Oh, do y'all remember Sewer Shark?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love FMV games.
That game sucked. All FMV games are bad.
You know what I hate? Woodwork. Mm.
Oh, gross. I'm all about metallurgy.
Well, we did it.
My name is Griffin McElroy. I'm the best soccer game with Mario in it that came out this week.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Ross Frederick, and I know the best game of the week.
Welcome to the Bestie Show, where we talk about the latest and greatest in home interactive entertainment. It is a video game club, and just by listening, you're a member. It's a game of the year show that goes all year round, and just by listening, you're a member. And this week, we're talking about Mario Strikers Battle League, the newest soccer Mario game to come out of what? Two or is this only the second or the third? Because there was the GameCube one, and then there was a 3DS one? Or
this is
Wii
the third.
One?
The original was on GameCube, then there was a Wii one, and this is the third.
This is the third one, and this one's got really hard kicking in it. Really hard kicking. Like the other ones had pretty hard kicking, and this one, the kicking's gotten so much harder.
I think we're also going to tier list our favorite Mario spinoffs.
Yeah, because maybe there's not much to actually talk about vis-a-vis the way that Mario does kick the ball. Chris Plant, what is Mario Strikers Battle League?
Oh, it's Mario Soccer, but this time the kicking is really hard.
Thank you. Sorry, I did step on your toes there.
No, you did great.
And we're going to be stepping on Bowser's toes as we tackle him to the ground violently when we come back from this quick break.
So Mario Strikers Battle League, I always confuse it with the other, what was it? Charged was the second one, and then just Mario Strikers.
It sounds like a collectible card game.
It does.
Which I would have maybe preferred.
Well, it's soccer. It is more soccer. And I think, well, here's what I'm going to say. I think of the people on this podcast, I have the fondest memories of it because it became a pretty big staple just as a local multiplayer game when the original came out on GameCube. I think, I want to say it was my college years. Yeah. And as a local multiplayer game, it is pretty spectacular. I think it sort of captures the same fervency that you get from a game like NBA Jam, obviously in a soccer milieu. But
you're talking about the GameCube version, though, and you're talking about like 15 years ago, right?
Sure, but I don't think it's changed that much.
It
quite
has
honestly.
Not really changed that much at all. I had never really played a Mario Strikers game before, mostly because I am not a soccer fan. I realize that is a pretty stereotypical thing to say. For
classic Americans,
which doesn't make sense because I love hockey. I adore hockey, and
well, it's fast soccer.
It's or soccer is just warm hockey. but it's not my favorite thing, and so it is genuinely difficult for me to divorce my feelings about Mario Strikers Battle League, which I will say now are quite ho hum. From the fact that, like, it is a Mario version of a sport I don't have much affinity for.
But, like, do you like hockey video games?
I mean, not really.
Oh, okay.
I don't play them that much. I would honestly probably play a hockey video game now. It's just never the first thing that I sought out. And I've only been watching the sport for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years now. Which is, I guess, enough time for me to look up a hockey video game if I really wanted to.
But do you get icing now? Have you figured that out?
Icing, yeah. It's once that clicks, the whole sport really opens up for you.
Yeah.
But I've found that. Okay, here's my first experience with the game. I loaded it up with Henry at my side because me and Henry have been playing a lot of video games lately, and he has started to like develop more of an appetite for not like super mechanically complex games, but more than, you know, more mechanically complex than, you know, some Paw Patrol, iPad game. So you load into this and say, like, hey, you want to do the tutorial? And I was like, yeah, we'll do the tutorial real quick. And then it's like this, like, chapter tutorial that, like, we made it through two chapters, maybe even one and a half chapters up before Henry was like, actually, no, thank you. This seems pretty boring. This does not seem like my cup of tea. Because there is a lot of different stuff you can do vis-a-vis charge shots and charge shot canceling feints. And
but even the tutorial starts way simpler than that. It's like,
it does
pass this button.
Pass, shoot, yeah.
Do but it does not five take, times.
It does not take too long to reach a point where it was placed out of reach of my 5-year-old, although I imagine we don't have many 5-year-old listeners, so this probably
won't
apply to a lot of people. But then once I got into the game and I played a few matches, I felt like I got it and was having a pretty good time. And then I was like, okay, so what's the next? So what's next? And then there wasn't like, there's not a, I would say an embarrassment of riches vis-a-vis like single player modes.
I think the core of it is still really strong, but it is weird to see. Even, you know, I certainly have had issues with like the last few Mario sports games, golf and tennis, neither of which I thought had very good single player story modes, but they had single player story modes.
Yeah,
and this just doesn't, which is weird.
It feels like thin by the standards of very thin Mario sports games.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, it feels like the sort of game that if you're in the right environment for it, it's great. I would say the same thing about the newest Mario Tennis. Both of these games are, like, amazing local multiplayer games. I just feel like a lot of people don't necessarily have that experience where they have someone locally that they can play with and get really into it.
Yeah, you can play with up to 8 players locally, which is fun, but also, like, I don't think I will ever be in a room with 7 people for whom playing Mario Strikers Battle League will be like the you know, activity of choice.
The logistics of charging controllers gives me a headache.
Oh, it's a nightmare. And then bizarrely, the online multiplayer modes, which you would think like, okay, well, the single player modes seem a little bit scant. Maybe they put all the effort into the online multiplayer. And there's a club mode where you can have like a club of 20 Mario Strikers players, and then sort of asynchronously you can, you know, win matches to earn currencies to like customize fields and all that jazz. But if you actually want to play like a quick play match against somebody online, it's only one versus one and not four versus four, which is wild to me because it seems
I think you can do two local and jump take two people locally online to play two other people.
Okay. Well, I think that's possible. That is maybe the most bonkers use case for this, because I don't know when that would ever come together.
Well, you and Henry could go out and game against the world.
There's like there's just zero carrots here for me. Because like there's gear that you can earn by getting coins for winning like cup matches and stuff like that, and then you can customize the I think 10 characters that are in the game with these different pieces of gear that adjust their stats, but for every like positive point in an attribute that the gear gives you, it also like subtracts stats from a different statistic. And so like I get the idea of like, okay, I'm really gonna, you know, customize my Toad to be like wicked fast, but you know, a weak little baby if anybody tries to tackle him. It just doesn't feel very rewarding because there's not like a huge benefit to that stuff.
You know what's kind of interesting is the last few Mario, like Nintendo sports games, have been built around this idea of post-release content.
Yeah.
Like you look at tennis and golf and even Wii Sports or Nintendo Switch Sports, and all of them have like these very robust post-launch plans around them.
Where like the rest of the game comes out.
Yeah, we're like it wouldn't even surprise me if they like filled out more of a single player experience post launch, which seems so counter to Nintendo's like old school ethos. But yeah. I guess they're kind of changing, at least with the sports games, they're changing their strategy.
I can't tell if it's clever or not, because it's a thing you always worry about when somebody's like, yeah, we're giving tons of free post release content. And it's like, well, is this free content or is this content I would have gotten originally and you
spend a little bit more?
Yeah, now it's good marketing. In most cases, I feel like with most game studios, you honestly can't tell. Like, it's like, yeah, sure, this probably is free, probably would have not come with the game. Here, it is like, yeah, flagrantly obvious that they're completing the game. But with Nintendo, does it matter when they're the one studio that 5 years from now can still sell that game for the original price, right? Like, they don't care if you buy the game in the first week or month or year. They assume that most of the people who like it are going to get it later on anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's all I have to, like, I don't know what else to say. I think it is fun enough. I probably won't play it anymore now that I've fulfilled my contractual obligation to play it for the Besties podcast.
I do wonder if we have people listening that like have the setup. I don't know.
Absolutely.
I
feel like it takes all types, right? Different shows for different folks. It's just like, I think that is a more niche thing that could have been made more sort of accessible if there were more sort of meat on the bones of this game.
I think it's a great time to have a Switch if you live in a dorm. Like, between this and I think Mario Golf is delight, and Mario Kart getting just gobs of updates and the new Switch Sports, like,
and Smash.
Yeah, if you're in a place where you can play locally, there's always the ongoing conversation of like the death of local multiplayer, and here one of the biggest companies in the world for video games is making solid local multiplayer games. Yeah, the only bummer is that they're charged full price and they don't seem to satisfy everybody else. The one thing I'll say about this game, and this is more of a wish, which I try not to do with like, I wish this game was something entirely different.
A monkey's paw can be is dangerous,
that's true.
Right?
I could be getting something bad, but I wish these Mario sports games borrowed from the current fighting game playbook, and like from Soul Calibur to Mortal Kombat in terms of how they do story and how they kind of add novelty between matches. So like, you pick a character, and then as you progress through matches, you're just getting little splashes of story for that character, and you're getting your gear alongside that, and maybe there's, like, little mini-games that are also teaching you how to play. Like, I think fighting games have just gotten very clever about how they add some meat to an otherwise, again, similarly simple experience. But whatever. I mean, that's not even a complaint of this game. I'm not, like, upset with this game for not having those things. It's just what I personally would like.
Yeah, it would just broaden, I think, the audience a little bit more.
Yeah.
That's all. It's a short convo, but it's a short game. And so we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk about some of Mario's other non-Goomba-murdering travails. I am looking at a tier list with about 1,000 Mario games on it. So maybe let's tighten it up a little bit and just sort of float our preferred Mario, like, side gigs.
These are the best of the best. We are not even worrying about the shitty ones.
All S tier, basically, right?
All S tier. And I think we got to go whole series as sort of tricky as that's going to be because of the, I would say, wide quality range of some of these franchises.
I feel like within most series, there's a decent amount of consistency. There are a few outliers where, like, Paper Mario from game to game changes pretty dramatically.
Christ. Yeah, that's a rough one.
But for the most part, I think they are pretty consistent, I would say.
I would disagree with that in such a major way, just because I think to specifically focus on Paper Mario and not, like, all Mario RPGs, because I would say the Mario and Luigi RPG games are, like, S tier. Those are consistent. Like, Paper Mario, you get, like, 6 sticker star, and whatever the most recent one was not
rough.
Not great. But, you know, Thousand Year Door is a fucking, like, iconic game from that era. So,
but don't you think that's the aberration? Like, I think in most cases, the series tends to be pretty consistent.
I would agree with you if there hadn't been, in my opinion, a pretty steady quality decline in the Paper Mario series. Literally, I would say since Thousand Year Door.
Yeah, like, well, yeah, but Fresh, that's what Fresh is saying. It's the outlier.
That is the outlier. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like Mario Party is consistently, like, 6
terrible.
Out of 10.
Well, that is generous. Fuck Mario Party.
Well, I think if you average out the, like, high highs of the, like, early N64 era versus the low lows of a lot of the other eras, I think you could probably come to a 6 out of 10. Can I put the Mario and Luigi RPGs up in S tier?
Because I feel definitely like think
those
they are
exquisite.
Phenomenal, yes.
I think, and, you know, lore jokes aside, I think Bowser's Inside Story is a really fucking funny game that is very clever, and it, like, is the peak of how those games blend RPGs and platformers and all the stuff that series does well. I think that game does the very best. Partners in
Time. What's the one with the babies?
Partners in Time.
I love Partners in Time. Babies. They say babies a lot. It's great. I agree with you, Griffin. It kills me that they more or less killed that franchise with the death of Camelot, is the developer. Is that right? Or yeah. Alpha Dream, I think, is the developer.
Yes, that sounds
but
right.
But it is, man, those games are super good and super consistent, and I can play them a lot. And I think the writing is really great. Like, I want more of that style of, like, goofy, lighthearted writing that I think originated in Super Mario RPG, which I guess I would kind of bundle these together, right?
Super Mario RPG, yeah, it's close. I would say that they have a lot of shared DNA. So, well, Super Mario RPG doesn't really have much of an emphasis on, like, platforming stuff.
Super Mario RPG kind of, like, splits, basically, right? Like, I feel like Paper Mario is one part of it, and Mario and Luigi is another part of its soul.
Two approaches to an RPG, basically.
Yeah. I feel like we're due for another Mario and Luigi. Like, that feels like a thing that we could see Nintendo announce in June. Wow, we're in
June. I mean,
June.
They literally closed the studio that made them.
Yeah,
so I don't
but,
know.
I mean,
it's
here's
not
the
like
thing about video games. You can keep making them. that people tend to not be super precious about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say the very obvious one, which is Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Which I think has only gotten better. I know that there is a lot of nostalgia for early Mario Karts, especially Super NES and 64. But here's the thing. Mario Kart 8 is the best Mario Kart. And I think with exceptions here and there, they tend to be better each time. Especially those like the mobile Mario Kart era. Whew, those are some great, great video games.
What?
Oh, no, no, you mean like Game Boy Advance DS.
Yes.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, Nintendo DS.
Yeah, because it came out on mobile phones.
And it wasn't very good. It was not a great highlight.
But those stages are being added to Mario Kart 8 now, many of them, and they're great. They're like quite fun.
I want to call out fucking Luigi's Mansion for being pretty excellent throughout. I think tonally it is like the most consistent of these series. Like Luigi's scared of ghosts, scared of everything, and yet he's once again thrown into the wilds of a horribly haunted mansion. And they're like very welcoming games. They're like kind of slow paced, funny. They feel real. The latest Luigi's Mansion game on Switch feels fucking spectacular. The like vacuum stuff is feels super good, and I don't know. It's so removed from every other Mario spinoff, and I just love it. I love that they kind of went in a totally different direction with that series.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's not my favorite, and I really bounced off of Dark Moon, I believe, was the 3DS Luigi's Mansion game, although I do recognize that like it's a pretty stellar accomplishment that they were able to make a game that sort of big and polished on 3DS. So yeah, I think the quality bar is set pretty steadily high there. I mean, of the sports games, I would say Mario Golf is the one that I enjoy the most, even when the game isn't my favorite.
What do you mean?
Like the Switch Mario Golf game, I did not think was like very good, but I also liked playing it way more than I liked playing Mario Strikers.
But do we need to include it? I mean, I feel like if we're doing S tier. I say this as a person who loves Mario Golf. I even like that Switch game probably more than anyone here.
Yeah, that's
I think
fair.
There are two truly great Mario Golf games, maybe the best Mario Sports games, and yet the fact that there have been probably three games
since then.
That's not great.
Y'all, we got to include Smash Brothers.
Yes, I completely agree.
Are we calling that a Mario spinoff? Because we could also call that a Pac-Man spinoff.
But it has Super and Brothers in the game.
That's a really good argument. It's really hard for
like
me to...
It basically is Super Mario Brother. They just... They were so excited about fighting, they couldn't say it right. They were like, Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah, they got so stoked about smashing.
And if you look at the original roster, it was, I want to say, 40%. Mario characters, right?
It was mostly Mario.
Yeah.
How weird is it to think that a character from Earthbound was in the original roster of like eight people or whatever in Smash Brothers?
They had some deep cuts.
They did. From the very beginning, they had some deep cuts.
I'll tell you my absolute favorite spinoff in all of these is Super Mario Brothers for the NES.
Now, explain yourself completely right now.
Well, as we all know, Mario is just a spinoff of Donkey Kong, so...
And now that's interesting. And wrong and not at all what we're doing here, but it is interesting that you thought to say
it. Makes you think.
I also, no, it does for sure.
I don't know.
No, I'm... Oh, sorry. I'm not going to allow that. That
is
preposterous.
I don't think that's good. I think that's bad.
I mean, but... Historically, let's just acknowledge that Mario is just a spinoff of Donkey Kong. Okay, I think we could all agree with that.
I don't want to agree with that, but I guess sort of, technically speaking, you are correct. Okay. I don't see anything else on this
list. Wait. No, actually, you're wrong. That is Jumpman. And his girlfriend, Pauline.
Who is different.
Pauline is in Mario Odyssey.
No. That's that doesn't mean it's a spinoff, because by Mario Odyssey, they're just bringing in characters from other games. No.
Wait, you're saying Jumpman is not Mario? Are you sure it's not like a Michael Jordan situation where that was his nickname?
Hmm. Oh, you're talking about literally Jumpman.
That's his nickname.
I thought you meant Michael Jordan was his nickname, and he had some other name before Michael Jordan. And I was like, why did they come up with the nickname Michael Jordan?
Yeah, that's not a very good nickname if your real name is Jumpman.
I apologize for derailing. I just wanted to make us all think about the deep-seated mystery that is whether Mario is a spin-off character to begin with.
Yeah.
I want to include...
I'm very surprised that you didn't say Yoshi here, Frosh.
I would not include Yoshi because I think Yoshi had one truly amazing game, which was Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, and then a bunch of Yoshi games that were just sort of fun.
Yoshi's Story on
it's okay, but okay. A downgrade in my opinion.
I like the new Yoshi game. It's very good.
Speaking of Donkey Kong, though, I do want to call out... Mario versus Donkey Kong.
Really?
Those games are fucking great.
I never liked them very much.
They're great.
But
are we going to put it on the list? Is that A tier or S tier?
There have been two. I guess it's Mario March of the Minis is part of that series. Yeah, maybe it's not an S tier.
Yeah.
That first Game Boy game is great, though.
Can I make an impassioned plea for Mario Paint?
There's only been one, correct?
Yeah, there's only been one. I would argue that a fucking Flipnote Studio had a bit of that DNA in it, but they made the one Mario Paint game.
If we're going to do a game where it's like there is only one of these, I think Mario and Rabbids would be, I can't believe I'm saying that, because it has and Rabbids.
I am curious, Griffin, if you have a good argument for Mario Paint, apart from the like, LOL, they're making you draw the cover to Use Your Illusion 2.
That's pretty much it. No, I mean, I this was a Super Nintendo game that you controlled with the mouse, and I spent a million years playing it because it was very fun to make music. There wasn't anything even remotely like it, or has ever been, I would say, anything like it on consoles, maybe since, where you can do, like, sprite work and, like, you know, it was essentially a very shitty DAW. Like an Ableton or a Logic Pro, only you use, instead of different virtual instruments, you use babies that go, and you would just sort of tune those to create like really dope song covers.
Also, there was something like it, and it was better. It was called Art Alive, or Art Alive, because it had an exclamation point, and it was on the Sega Genesis, and it is fantastic. Okay. If you were a Sega Genesis kid who couldn't have fancy Mario Paint, Art Alive was all you needed.
Yeah. I tire of talking of Mario and his exploits.
Okay,
I
want to talk very quickly. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker is getting added.
No.
Yes. Are you
to what tier?
Well, if we're only doing S tier, I do not think he justifies S tier. I like him as a character. He's scrappy, but he's very slow.
In the games,
and I find his game a little boring.
Wow.
I find it a little boring. I like them aesthetically. I think they're gorgeous. But as a, like, you know, him waddling around.
Okay.
Not for me.
Okay.
Okay. Can we talk about some big boy games, please?
Yeah, let me just call out the S tiers that we've agreed to. It's Mario & Luigi series, Mario Kart series, Smash Brothers series, Luigi's Mansion series, and Mario Teaches Typing. Cool.
That last one felt... Okay. All right. Hey, what has everybody else been playing? I would love to hear about some more video games.
I could really use like a new book to read.
Oh gosh, we're gonna start here. I want to do one last plug for the book that I've been working on for the last 4 years. It's actually out. I feel bad for doing one last plug, but here we are.
Don't
it's called
feel
the Book
bad.
Of Fun.
You worked hard on this book, and it's great.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's called The Book of Fun. Dope stories about the history of fun. Did I talk about the GoldenEye anecdote last week?
I don't remember.
There's an amazing anecdote that is terrifically illustrated in the book by Sonny Ross, who did all the great art. Basically about the idea that Nintendo, when GoldenEye was coming out on N64, had some doubts. They were not sure that GoldenEye should come out on the N64, given the fact that Nintendo is such a family-friendly series. Maybe they shouldn't have a game with sniper rifles and Uzis and various other adult themes. To that end, Shigeru Miyamoto had the idea that maybe at the end of GoldenEye, James Bond would visit all of the soldiers that he shot in the hospital and make sure they were okay.
That would have been a lot better. This does sound familiar, but I don't know if it's because I read your book or because we talked about it on the show last week.
But I always found that fantastic, and it bums me out that it didn't happen. But the book is filled with pretty amazing little stories and anecdotes like that. You can get it pretty much at any bookstore that sells books. It's called The Book of Fun.
I would say pretty much I could guarantee most bookstores are going to sell you a book.
That is my hope.
Yes. Okay. So that's enough about books.
Even books
we wrote, and that's great, and I love that. In business, and you got to get that. You got to get that dollar.
I have two more actual games to mention.
Okay.
I've been playing Fortnite. There is a new season of Fortnite. It's themed around vibin', which I've been assured that kids do quite a bit.
What does that mean?
I'm not gonna speculate because that's really their territory. But as a contrast, so last season was sort of like very military themed and tanks and stuff like that, which was bummer timing given, you know, the world. But so this theme, the quote war that they were having in the game is over, and now it's sort of just like a party. It's like a Burning Man style party, and it's very lighthearted and goofy, and fucking Darth Vader's in it, and you can make him do Gangnam style, and Fortnite's great. I love it. It's so much fun.
Okay.
I've also been playing Vampire Survivors on my Steam Deck, which finally arrived.
Yay.
And I'm so, so happy. I am so happy that I waited, because I cannot think of a better platform than the Steam Deck for Vampire Survivors, because it's such like mindless but also fantastic action nonsense, and it's just kind of perfect for Steam Deck. It just bums me out that there are only like 50,000 of them in the world, so most of the people listening are just like, oh great,
but
good for you.
Let's talk about Steam Deck though, because last Monday, or maybe the Monday before last, no, I think it was last Monday, I got the like purchase confirmation email that was like, hey, your reservation is ready, now you can pay for the rest of it. And so I did that. And then on Wednesday, I got my shipping notification email that was like, hey, it's on its way. And on Friday, I got the Steam Deck.
Wow.
So once it starts moving, once you get that first email, it is going to truck. I mean, I guess quite literally truck to the finish line of your hot little hands.
Yeah, mine took about a week from that pre-order email to getting it.
Yeah, so I guess it just depends on what day you get it. But I got mine too, and it's fucking fantastic.
What have you been playing on it?
I've been playing some No Man's Sky, because they just released a new update for that, and I also haven't played it in a few years, and man, there's a ton of shit in that game that is super cool now.
How does that run on the Steam Deck?
Really well. I have not played a game on the Steam Deck yet that does not play very well. Another title that is one that I've been sort of curious about for a while but never really dipped into is Path of Exile, which is the sort of Diablo like from some of the I think original Diablo creators. It just got a new, this is a I think 9 or 10 year old game, it just got a new update called Sentinel that adds like some new stuff to the game, but one of the big things it adds is controller support. So,
wow!
It is now fully, fully ready to be played on Steam Deck, and it handles like a dream, and it's really cool. It's a neat sort of a take on Diablo, where like there is a wide open class system with like a Final Fantasy style sphere grid that you can sort of navigate around to customize your character, and then like the different skills that you can unlock are not locked to your class choices. They are decided by the gems that you slot into your armor. So it's all continuing the theme. It's almost got sort of a Final Fantasy VII materia system where you like slot in the skill gems and then you slot in support gems to modify those skills. The level of customization is off the charts, and it is.
Yeah, this sounds very Griffin.
It's very cool, and it's scratching the Diablo itch that was, I would say, only, you know, irritated by the release of Diablo Immortal.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's mostly it.
Rogue Legacy 2 is also great on.
Oh yeah, I've been playing that on there as well.
Wow. Plant, what have you been playing?
Yakuza 0. I've been playing it on Steam Deck, and it's wonderful.
Such Which one is 0?
0 is the prequel set.
He's like
in,
a baby?
What?
Is he a baby in this one?
He's a young man. Oh. And he's just, well, I would say he's just getting into the Yakuza, but the beginning of the game is him actually quitting the Yakuza because he doesn't want to bring shame to the group, and he needs to solve a mystery.
That tells me there needs to be a negative one at this point.
I think actually this is just a clever way of explaining why he knows how to like beat the shit out of people.
Right, but don't you want to play the game where he actually joins in the first
place?
Well,
that's how you get this, right? It's a trick. He because he's been a member for a short time, he knows how to be a badass. But now he has to, quote, join for the first time, right? Where if you did it, if you did negative one, it'd be like, okay, he doesn't know anything. Like, what does he do? Like, he's like, he goes to college classes or something. And then by the end of the game, you know how to like break a dude's nose.
I mean, that sounds like Persona, quite honestly.
Yeah.
No, Persona sounds like, oh, he adopts like some Gaelic myth god that looks like a sex toy and, you know, gets to fight with it. That
yeah, I'm not
very
hearing
different games.
Anything bad about what you just said.
No, it's good. They're just different. Anyway, Yakuza actually does kind of feel like Persona in that a lot of the game is just, like, chilling. I do a lot of batting practice, some karaoke. It is a great Steam Deck game if you have a 5 to 6 hour flight. And just want to, in the words of Fortnite, vibe.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And that's really that's what I've been gravitating to on Steam Deck is games that like ordinarily I would not have the patience to sit in front of a TV or a computer monitor and play. And those are the games that I would like have been playing way more of because they just fit into my life a lot easier.
I feel like that's your favorite way to play video games, even before you had a kid.
Yeah, oh, unquestionably. I mean, the amount of time that I played Switch handheld in front of the TV while we were watching whatever, Bridgerton, is definitely kind of my preferred method. I mean, there are a few games like, look, if I'm playing Last of Us Part 2, I'm like doing it. Like I'm playing it, I'm focused and stuff like that. But if I'm playing a platforming game or like a power curve kind of game like a Skyrim or whatever, I'd rather do it, you know, passively to some extent.
Sure. That's one I've actually been thinking about because I never really, aside from when I did it for stupid video stuff, never really messed with like Skyrim mods. And there's some pretty dope ones apparently. I would be curious if there is like a curated like list of essential like transformative Skyrim mods. There's got to be something like that, right? Where it's like a community made like you know. Super Ultra Edition. You would have
I wanted to try Skyrim VR, it sent me down this rabbit hole of like the amount of work that you needed to do to actually get it good and running.
Yeah.
And that was very intimidating, but I'm sure just on a baseline non-VR format, best Skyrim mods, I'm sure there are quite a few.
Yeah, I guess I'm just looking for like a curated, like, you know, fan-made sequel to Skyrim. Because I think it's been just, I can't remember the exact length of time that it takes for me to have not played Skyrim before I want to play Skyrim again, but I think it's about 7 months or so.
Yeah. Well, we've got Starfield coming out.
Yeah.
That looks pretty Skyrim to me.
It looks a little...
In space.
Speaking
but...
of No Man's Sky, it also seems quite a bit like that.
Someone was speculating, do you think they handcrafted the 1,000 planets they have in the game? No, they goddamn did not.
Maybe.
Come on, people. They didn't.
Todd's got his ways. No, I think they confirm that a lot of it's procedurally generated.
Of course.
But that there are some...
That is not a good use of people's time to make 1,000 different planets.
I mean, it worked for...
yeah.
It worked for the Lord. Well, he made the thousand planets in our excellent solar system. Thank you for listening to the Besties. It sure means a lot to us that you would spend your time with us today. What are we talking about next week?
Next week we have TMNT Shredder's Revenge.
That is a new beat 'em up in the vein of, you know, all the other TMNT beat 'em ups. Which Hell I don't yeah. mean to sound reductive, because those games no, absolutely they, rip.
They rock. And it's from .emu, which is a very good studio, and I'm extremely excited to talk about it. I dipped a very small toe into it, and it is scratching every nostalgic itch I have.
It's yeah. It's not just nostalgia. It's just legitimately well made.
Is that extremely good. Can you play that on Steam Deck? I guess there's a bunch of like...
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, not even with work. It works immediately.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, that's perfect for me then.
I wanted to thank the following people for writing reviews for the Besties: Table Scraps, Rough Gem, Pass Problems, Bavolguaward, I don't know how to
Excellent
pronounce that.
Excellent stuff.
And Your Daddy Gaming, thank you for writing reviews for the Besties on Apple Podcasts. Thank you to everyone else who shared the show or talked about it and said how great it is and how much you like it.
Yeah.
We genuinely appreciate it, and it helps spread the word about the show.
Y'all Very quickly, best. We talked about Mario Strikers Battle League and a ton of Mario spin-off games, including Mario & Luigi, Mario Kart, Smash Brothers, and Luigi's Mansion, which were our favorite spin-offs. Book of Fun is Fresh's new book. You can go get it right now. Fortnite, Vampire Survivors, Yakuza 0, the Steam Deck, No Man's Sky, and Path of Exile.
Okay, that's it. Join us next week for the Besties, because we're going to talk about those rascally turtles, and that'll be a lot of fun. And shouldn't the world's best friends be the world's best games?
Besties!